I'm going to be looking at John chapter 3 at this time, if you'd like to join us. Thank you for that beautiful reminder of what the wise men may have been thinking. Can you imagine what an incredible journey they made, and then seeing the Christ child in a simple cave where other animals were, maybe expecting an incredible king, but a lowly child that came, as he came the first time to be our Savior. And we're going to talk about how Christ can be our Savior and what it really means. And I appreciate the Flanders family leading us there and reminding us what it really means for us to come before Jesus, the one that became man, that we could have eternal life. Let's pray once again as we look into John chapter 3. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless your word, that you would open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things out of your law. In Jesus' name, amen. A number of years ago, there was a Christian book on marriage. It was written called The Five Languages of Love. You may have read that or at least heard about it, but these five languages deal with how we express our feelings and how we receive love from someone else as well. And if we can understand how someone else communicates love, then we can communicate that love to the one that we love as a marriage partner. The first is gift giving. We think of that at Christmas time with gifts. Some people really like gifts. Some gift giving is not a big deal. Quality time. The importance of spending time together. I hope you have some time of rest and relaxation to spend with the people that you love over the next several days. Words of affirmation. We all want to hear words of encouragement. That's why criticism is so difficult for us. So having words of affirmation, words of encouragement. Number four is acts of service. Some people are really good at doing for other people, and it really means a lot when somebody does something special for them. They meet a need that they have. They take that extra time. And then the fifth is physical touch and closeness. This idea of physical touch in our life. Some people are closed off a little bit more, but the reality is all of us desire to be loved through this aspect of touch. Touch is a vital part of our health, physically and emotionally. We greet one another maybe with a handshake or a hug. We greet people that we're closer to with a kiss. We may hold hands with the person that we love. We want to be involved in the physical realm. It's very important. Our kids need that physical touch. Our spouses need that physical touch. We need that physical touch as well. So physical touch is very important. It was so important that God said, I want to become a man so I can be there physically with mankind. As you read through the gospel, something Jesus did quite often, he reached out and he touched people. He reached out and he touched children. When the other said, no, he's too busy for children, but Jesus loved children and he provided physical touch. He provided touch to the 12 disciples. We even see that there were times that the disciples would be laying very close to each other. John was laying on his lap right before Jesus went to the cross. He was physically close with these individuals. It wasn't a sign of a lack of masculinity. These were real men, but they demonstrated love by physical touch. Physical touch demonstrates acceptance. It demonstrates love, sometimes even forgiveness. It's an incredible way to communicate, and it shows closeness with those that we want to demonstrate love with. And on that first Christmas, God became a man. We call it the incarnation, or Christ taking flesh upon himself. God, who is a spirit, decided that he was going to come down to man, as the Flanders were sharing with us. Karen, I appreciate her sharing that we couldn't go to God, so he came to us. He became a man. his presence. He demonstrated his availability. Jesus came for sinful man because he was a sinless Savior. God becoming man that he could connect with us. And throughout the Old Testament, the first 39 books of the Bible told us about the Messiah that was going to come, this one that was going to come, and he was going to be born in a certain place. He was going to be born at a certain time, and a certain individual was going to be born, Emmanuel, God with us. And as you read through the book of John, John was the one that was very close with Jesus, and he tells us about how loving God truly was. We're going to look at John 3:16 in just a minute, but we're going to look at a different verse a few verses later. When I told the guys in the back what verses we're using, I said, we're going to look at John 3:16 and one other verse. And they said, there's another verse in John beside John 3:16. You know, so we all have probably been to a ball game where you see the sign John 3:16, or if you've been in church, you have some familiarity with John 3:16. But there's some other verses around that we're going to look at. In John chapter 3, let me tell you what was going on when Jesus quoted that incredible verse, John 3:16, and John pinned it that we could have it today. In John chapter 3, there was a religious man. He was a good man. I mean, he followed the codes. He obeyed the Ten Commandments. He was a righteous individual. I mean, people would look at him and saw him as a very good man. And he comes on the scene and he begins talking to Jesus. And Jesus tells him quite a few stories, some stories from the Old Testament. He tells him what he needs to do. He needs to be born from above if he's going to have eternal life. And in the middle of that, we see John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is a really powerful verse. And this is what it says. And this is the condemnation, or this is the judgment. This is the matter at hand, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Now, the reason I chose this passage, we as a staff, we pray about the direction we're going to go in and what we're going to be talking about. And originally, I was going to go in a different direction and talk more about the wise men. And the other day, as we were finalizing some things, Pastor Steve, we were talking about the lighting of the candle and the impact it was going to have during this service. And he made a statement, and he said, maybe we should say something like, the light has come. And I remembered this verse, the light has come. And so I want to talk to you about this light. The light that has come to the world. The light has come. Jesus says he is the light of the world. We see the star shining. We see the angelic host in their brightness. There's a lot in the Christmas story about Jesus coming and the bright lights. Today we celebrate with lights, right? Maybe we have them on our tree, on our house, out in our yard, and we like to look at lights. Lights have a very important significance. And in John 3, when we see this story of this religious man, Jesus said, the light has come. It's interesting, though, when we look at the story of Christmas, who came to baby Jesus? Well, we just heard in that song, the Magi, or the wise men. And it's very interesting, if we begin to look at who they weren't Jews. They were not the people that you would have expected that were going to come to Jesus. They were from a far-off land that had to travel to get to where Jesus was going to be. This was not who you would have expected to come and see the Messiah. It was just this group of Gentiles. As we look at Luke, who else came? We see that the shepherds came. Now, shepherds were not thought of very highly. Shepherds were disdained. They were the stinky Walmart shoppers of the day or whatever. You know, you maybe heard that terminology recently. You know, they weren't respected very much. But who did God send to the baby Jesus? He sent the shepherds. The other individual said, there's no room in the inn. They were too busy for him. Even in Matthew or in John chapter 1, the Bible says Jesus came into his own and his own received him not. They had been given the Bible, but they were too busy for the Messiah. They were distracted with other things, and they did not accept Jesus as the Messiah. Why would that be? Well, look at John 3, verse 19 again. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Who greeted Jesus? Very few people, actually. Why didn't they accept him? Well, the light has come. But most of the world rejected him. They didn't come to him because men love darkness rather than light. Do you remember when you were a little child and your parents said, "Don't steal"? What did you want to do? Well, you wanted to, you know, don't take that cookie over there, right? You wanted that cookie, right? If the sign said, "Wet paint, do not touch," you're like, that looks like it'd be fun to touch, right? Your parents might have said, "I don't want you to play on this light socket," and then you'd just be drawn to the light socket, or you're just learning to walk. You can't go up those stairs. Well, we kind of want to do our own thing in life, right? Why is that? We have this problem because we love darkness. All of us have a sin nature, right? Anybody, any perfect people here? All right, I didn't see any hands at least, and good, that's good, because none of us are. All of us have failed God, but God came to us anyway. Even though mankind has rejected him, darkness is going to disappear because the light has come. The light has come, but men love darkness rather than light. Have you ever watched one of those house renovation shows? One of the things they do, some people love them, right, is watch them, learn a lot. Well, one thing I've realized in the shows that I've watched, they go in and they tear a lot of the walls out and they want open space. And then they put in some new windows and maybe they add some windows. And then they put more lights in. Why? Because light is refreshing. Light is hopeful. Light is anticipating. And so God uses that aspect of light referring to him and who he is. Darkness referring to the sinful lifestyle. Light referring to the right kind of life. And the light has come to remove darkness, to change our life, to transform us, and to give us eternal life. This religious leader, if anybody looked at Nicodemus, his life looked pretty good. But John 3:16 says, it's not a church that can get you to heaven. It's not obeying the law. It's not a baptism. It's not treating our fellow man kindly that gets us to heaven. John 3:16, we have it up on the screen behind us here. And would you join me in saying this verse together? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, this is the response that religious people need to follow and non-religious people. Those that seem like they have the act together and those lives that are truly messed up, we must believe on Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. That's why he became a man, to live a perfect life and to die a sinless death. And then 3 days later, to come back to life that you and I could live forever with him. The forgiveness of sin, the joy instead of sorrow, peace instead of anxiety, hope in all of our trials, friends, the light has come. Will we greet the baby in the manger? Will we observe our Savior that died on the cross? Will we rejoice in the resurrection because the tomb is empty? Will we accept Jesus as our Savior? Let him dispel the darkness of our life. Let's let him to transform us and change our destiny to one of eternal hope in a place called heaven. That's what Christmas is about. Let me close with the story. Christmas Eve, there's a beautiful gift under the tree, but it's not open. And then Christmas morning comes, And that gift is still under the tree, unopened. Then lunchtime comes, and you still observe, and that gift is still under the tree. You think, well, maybe somebody's just going to come a little bit later. And Christmas Day passes. The week goes by, now New Year's has come, and that gift is still under the tree. It's been purchased. It has somebody's name on it, but just it hasn't been received. See, that's what salvation is. Jesus has paid everything that you and I could have eternal life. A church can't purchase eternal life. You and I individually can't do it. No matter how spiritual our parents were, that's not going to do it. The only thing is to believe and receive what Jesus Christ has done for us. He is the gift of Christmas. And friends, if you've never accepted Him as your Savior, may this Christmas be the day, because for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, be separated from God, but have everlasting life, spending eternity with Him forever. For just a moment, can we bow our heads? At this Christmas season, as we think of who Jesus is, as we think of the wonderful plan that He created from eternity past to bring forth the Messiah, and then 2,000 years ago, to be born a simple birth to a humble couple, God becoming man, that you and I could have eternal life. Friend, have you received that gift? I'm not asking if you're a church member, if you've tried to live a good life, but has there been that point in your life that you've admitted to God that your sin has separated you from Him? And that because of that sin, you understand that Jesus died on the cross. And the best you know how, by faith, you call upon Jesus' name and ask Him to be your Savior. Just as you bow your heads for a moment, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, would you make that decision right now? In your heart, just call out to Him. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And right now, I ask You to forgive my sins and take me to heaven when I die. Thank You, Jesus, for saving me tonight. And friend, maybe you are here. You know Jesus is Savior, but there's some things in your life that really aren't honoring to your Savior. And right now, just ask Him for cleansing. Dear Jesus, please forgive me for, and whatever it is in your life, some things that you're doing you know you shouldn't be doing, or maybe some things you know you should be doing that you're currently are not. Dear Jesus, please forgive me and cleanse me. Dear Father, tonight as we come before You, we ask that Christmas would be about You, that You would be the focus as we move into 2020. May this new year be about You. May we honor You with our life, with our families, with the attitudes we possess. God, may You be first. May You be number one. Thank You for those that have prayed to accept You as Savior. God, do a work in their life. Transition them. Help darkness to be expelled out of their life, and may they walk in the light. Give us love, joy, and peace. And Lord, may we share this story with others around us. May Christmas be about Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.